For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this week's program, we have Aaron Freeman. He is the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast and a writer for The Falcoholic, both outlets are dedicated to covering Atlanta Falcons content. We discuss the Falcons game against the Eagles, Falcons offense and defense, Matt Ryan, also the Falcons' next game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and so much more. That interview is going to be really good, so stay tuned for that. Plus, we'll have a preview of Week 2 and picks on who will win Week 2's games. But first, got to get you to my top three storylines. I'm going to start off with the New Orleans Saints game against the Green Bay Packers. Shocker, shocker, and a shocker. Jameis Winston threw 5 touchdown passes in this contest. He finished completing 14 out of 20 passes for 148 yards and 5 touchdowns. The offense clicked on all cylinders. The defense was solid in this contest. The offensive line handled their business. The pass protection was perfect. The Saints beat the Packers 38-3. Could this be a preview of what's to come with the Saints this year? I don't know. It's way too early to tell. It's week one. Everybody looks good in week one for the teams that win and are successful in week one. We have a long season ahead of us. September and October are litmus tests for who will try to make it on top in the NFL. The real season starts late November, going into January. But as far as the Saints are concerned, man, Jameis Winston, always was a big fan of Jameis Winston during his days at Florida State University. We saw pockets of his greatness in Tampa. It was only two years ago that he was the league's leading passer. He also led the league in interceptions thrown. But Jameis said he came to New Orleans, wanted to get an Ivy League education and learning how to play the quarterback position. Backing up Drew Brees last year, also was a backup behind Taysom Hill. Winston was the third string quarterback, and he had his moments where he played in last season. And even though it's too early to tell, Jameis looked like old Jameis. Jameis looked really, well, I can't say old Jameis, because old Jameis was throwing touchdowns, but also throwing interceptions. But Jameis looked flawless in that game, and not only give him credit, but also give credit to the defense and their stance in this contest. Zach Bond was the team's leading tackler in this contest. Malcolm Jenkins had 3 tackles. Paulson Adebo, boy, he played some very tight coverage. He was on all cylinders on his coverage assignments. He had 2 tackles and an interception in this contest. Marcus Williams had an interception. Marcus Davenport had a sack in this contest as well. Man, you talk about a compare and contrast. For all the things that went right for the Saints, everything went wrong and then some for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP, completed 15 out of 28 passes for 133 yards and 2 interceptions. That's not the stuff that Aaron Rodgers is made of. And knowing A-Rod, he's going to get things fixed. And in Green Bay, they're going to get things fixed in a hurry and then some. Now, we know about the soap opera of the off season that he had, upset because management did not let him involved in key decisions and things of that nature. And then he didn't show up until after the preseason was over. It was busy doing other things like hosting Celebrity Jeopardy and things of that nature. I mean, 38-3. I mean, Aaron Rodgers will bounce back, because the Packers' next game will be Monday night at Lambeau Field against the Detroit Lions. We'll delve deep and more into that game later on in the program. But not a great performance. They are rusty. He looked rusty. the defense looked rushed. I mean, the Saints offense just manhandled that Packer defense. One thing is for sure, that Packer defense will look so much better come Monday night against Detroit. But let's get back to what happened with week one. Everybody just looked anemic, and I knew the Saints would have a field day. The Saints' defensive line would have a field day against that Packer offensive line. The Packers' offensive line had not one but two rookies starting on the offensive line. Then you had one person, Elkton Jenkins. They had him playing on the left side. And then when you're missing David Bakhtiari, who is like the highest paid center in the league, that's not good at all. But Green Bay will get it fixed. They'll get it fixed in a hurry. I don't expect this to last too long. They will get back on their winning ways, and Aaron Rodgers will have a statement game come Monday night. But for right now in week one, the Saints, this was an ultimate statement game. Could this really be the torch where Jameis Winston is like, Drew was great, but it's my time now? Too early to tell, but this much is true. New Orleans showed up and showed out in Jacksonville. They handled their business and just manhandled the Green Bay Packers. Final score, 38-3. And also, a big ups to Juwan Johnson. Juwan Johnson had a great game in this contest as well. Juwan Johnson and Deontay Harris, they played big in week one against the Packers. My next storyline is going to be Matthew Stafford. For those that had never watched the Detroit Lions game, I had the pleasure of watching many Detroit Lions games with Matthew Stafford as the quarterback. And Matthew has one of the strongest arms in the league, one of the premier passers in the NFL. And with an arm like his, it's the problem was in Detroit, as much as he loved Detroit, the talent was just never there around him, with the exception of Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Other than that, the inability to win playoff games, the inability to even make playoff appearances, just the talent was just never there for him in Detroit. And while he loved living in the city of Detroit and playing for the Lions, the writings were on the wall, and he just said, you know what, it's time for me to pack up, and it's time to blow this thing up. And in the offseason, in a big trade, the Rams traded Jared Goff to the Lions in exchange for Matthew Stafford. And if you watch the game on Sunday Night Football, that Rams offense was phenomenal, and it clicked against a Chicago Bear defense that's known to be tough and menacing. Well, Matthew Stafford, and also give a lot of credit as well to head coach Sean McVay, because it looks as though, I know, again, it's week one, but this Stafford and McVay connection looks so good. I mean, it's like they're clicking on all cylinders. It's almost like they have like a photographic memory. They know which one is gonna say and what is gonna do. And it looks like Matthew Stafford, man, 3 touchdown passes in this game, and he completed 20 out of 26 passes for 321 yards. Stafford looked great out there, and also looking great out there was Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, Robert Woods, and also great to see DeSean Jackson out on the field. DeSean, one of my favorite wide receivers, one of my favorite players of all time. That Ram defense looked phenomenal on Sunday night, and the defense looked good as well. Aaron Donald had a sack. David Long had an interception. Justin Hollins had 2 sacks as well. And then Jalen Ramsey played great lockdown coverage as well. He had 7 tackles in this contest. But when the Rams made this move to get Matthew Stafford, I said to myself, they're ready to win right now. This is Super Bowl or bust. Stafford is in the prime of his career. He just turned 33, so he is very much in his prime. And what he can do along with Sean McVay, this is going to be a long year for a lot of Rams opponents. And they already play in the best division in the NFL, in the NFC West, with the Rams and the Seahawks and the Cardinals and the 49ers. This is going to be fun this year. I mean, the Rams offense was fun when Jared Goff was there, and you had Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. But now you've got Matthew Stafford, someone that's always down for throwing the ball 40, 50, 60, 70 times a game. This is going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to watching Matthew Stafford this year with the Rams. And for my last storyline, the Monday night game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, the Raiders, I always said the Raiders were made for the city of Oakland. The Raiders were made for Los Angeles as well. The problem was in L.A., a lot of people did not attend those games at the Coliseum because there were so many distractions around in L.A. But the Raiders felt right at home in Oakland. But, man, with full capacities coming back at stadiums in the NFL and the way that those fans showed up for that home game Monday night in Las Vegas, the Raiders are made for Las Vegas. Just the glitz and the glamour and the grittiness, but just the intensity of how the Raiders played. Just what an entertaining game that was Monday night. Derek Carr completed 34 out of 56 passes for 435 yards, two touchdowns and one interception. Derek Carr is clearly a John Gruden guy. Coach Gruden, ex-quarterback, loves his quarterbacks to throw the ball, loves those high-octane pass offenses, and he got a lot out of Derek Carr. Derek attempted 56 passes. The Raiders, this was a fantastic game. This was really drama, and it had everybody, including me, on the edge of my seat. Darren Waller played a great game. Brian Edwards was effective. Hunter Renfrow was great. Kenyon Drake was good. Josh Jacobs had two touchdowns. And Zay Jones caught the game-winning touchdown for the Raiders into winning in overtime. On the defensive side, Max Crosby had two sacks. Also, Carl Nassib had a sack. And, man, the Raiders, man, what a game that was between the Raiders and the Ravens. And Lamar Jackson, is Mr. Excitement in his own right, threw a touchdown pass and rushed for over 80 yards in this game. Sammy Watkins looked good. A new addition from Kansas City. Marquise Brown scored a touchdown in this game. You know, the Ravens' defense is going to be okay. You know, they've gone through some growing pains in the defensive side, but they're going to be okay this year. But just back to this game for a moment. The Ravens and the Raiders, this was about as good as it gets. And it goes to show you that you had Lamar Jackson, a former league MVP, going up against a team that is destined for that market, destined for Las Vegas. And they fit in so well in the city of Las Vegas. I have to admit, I thought the Raiders should have stayed in Oakland, but there were so many political things going on. And with Mark Davis, he wanted his new stadium, and he packed up the team, moved to Las Vegas. And it goes to show you that so far so good, the move was well worth it. But, man, if you didn't get a chance to watch this game on Monday night, it was fantastic. It was a great names played in this game. Lamar Jackson, Tyson Williams, Sammy Watkins, Marquise Brown, Patrick Queen, Marlon Humphrey. You also had, of course, the names I mentioned earlier, Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, also Darren Waller, Kenyon Drake, Hunter Renfrow. The list goes on and on and on. And also, what was significant about this Monday night game is that this was the first game of this was the first Baltimore Ravens appearance for Latavius Murray. Latavius was cut earlier in the week by the New Orleans Saints. Murray refused to take a pay cut. They released him. Several days later, he gets signed by Baltimore, and he scores a touchdown in this game. So I expect big Latavius Murray to have much better games this season. Of course, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins are out with season-ending injuries. But, man, the NFL is back. This week one was phenomenal. And to cap it off with a thrilling overtime Monday night game, you can't go wrong with that. Those are my top three storylines. And when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Aaron Freeman. He is the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast and a writer for The Falcoholic. Those media outlets are dedicated to covering Atlanta Falcons content. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. for the ones wearing many hats, for the ones who are hands-on, even from far away, and the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get 30% shorter average wait time. When you buy and book your appointment at DiscountTire.com, you can get 30% shorter average wait time in the store. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Rock out to some rock and roll. And when you do, make a sandwich that rocks. Go with two slices of your favorite bread piled high with Eckrich deli meats. And then turn it up to 11. Eckrich.
Something we all missed in 2020 is traveling. Remember road trips, seeing friends and family, and all the sights and sounds along the way. And of course, road snacks. Mmm, beef jerky. Well, it's time to get back out there. We've earned it. And when you travel with the U.S. Bank Altitude Connect Visa Signature Card, you'll also earn the most from it. So hit the road and take it all in again, from points of interest to points back for how you travel. Earn 4x points on travel and at gas stations. And if you book your prepaid hotel or car rental directly in the Altitude Reward Center, you can earn 5x points. Plus, you'll earn 2x points on groceries, dining, and streaming services. And all other eligible purchases? Yeah, you'll earn points on those too. So start earning more today and connect with 50,000 bonus points, a $500 value when you spend $3,000 within the first 120 days of account opening. Learn more at usbank.com/altitudeconnect. The U.S. Bank Altitude Connect Visa Signature Card is issued by U.S. Bank National Association, N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Reuniting with loved ones is more important than ever this summer. And the beach isn't just calling your name, it's calling the whole family. Vrbo has thousands of private beach homes wherever the ocean meets the land, so you can find the perfect vacation home on the perfect stretch of beach with something for everyone. The time for getting back together is now. Download the Vrbo app and make your reunion happen with Vrbo.
Get 30% shorter average wait time. When you buy and book your appointment at DiscountTire.com, you can get 30% shorter average wait time in the store. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of. Get 30% shorter average wait time. When you buy and book your appointment at DiscountTire.com, you can get 30% shorter average wait time in the store. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Headlines and hot takes, they have their place. But at our podcast, ESPN Daily, we don't just skim the surface of sports.
Dude, I mean, this clearly transcends blood feuds, rivalries, sports. This is something far, far deeper than that.
I'm your host, Pablo Torre, and every day we try to dive into the stories behind the athletes.
The picture of him in the dugout afterwards just looked like a guy who'd had his heart ripped out.
Listen to ESPN Daily wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to some good old-fashioned country. And when you do, cook up the best sausage in the country. Eckrich Smoked Sausage. Naturally hardwood smoked and crafted with just the right blend of spices. Perfect for lunch, dinner, or even right now. Eckrich. You do you.
Headlines and hot takes, they have their place. But at our podcast, ESPN Daily, we don't just skim the surface of sports.
Dude, I mean, this clearly transcends blood feuds, rivalries, sports. This is something far, far deeper than that.
I'm your host, Pablo Torre, and every day we try to dive into the stories behind the athletes.
The picture of him in the dugout afterwards just looked like a guy who'd had his heart ripped out.
Listen to ESPN Daily wherever you get your podcasts.
Get 30% shorter average wait time. When you buy and book your appointment at DiscountTire.com, you can get 30% shorter average wait time in the store. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by RootMetrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network. Verizon. Best and most reliable based on root metrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks. We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by Root Metrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on Root Metrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously disappointed with the result and, you know, how it shook out. I think there's some positives. You know, I've played a long time and know that, you know, it's never as good, it's never as bad. And so, you know, I think with a young football team, I think there's a lot of opportunities for us to learn from today. And it's going to be, you know, really important for us to get back to work and make sure that we correct some of the things that didn't go our way today. So, you know, it's disappointing. You know, you come out, you expect yourself to play well and to win. And, you know, just had some things that kind of got off schedule and had some self-inflicted wounds. And when you do that, it puts you in a tough spot to overcome.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That was Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan speaking at the postgame press conference after the loss to the Philadelphia Eagles on September the 12th of 2021. And he talked about it, correcting the mistakes, and he says they're a young football team and they'll get it fixed in a hurry. And we're going to talk more about that game and also Matt Ryan as well as the Falcons' next game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We want to welcome him to the program. He's the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, which is the podcast dedicated to all things Atlanta Falcons. Mr. Aaron Freeman. Aaron, welcome to the program.
How's it going?
It's going well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. Again, the Falcons lost. They lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. Final score 32-6. Aaron, what were some of your what were the takeaways that you got from the Falcons' loss to the Eagles?
Yeah, I think the main concern I had going into the game was whether or not the Falcons' offensive line was going to hold up against the Eagles' pass rush. And that concern was, I guess you could say, confirmed, or that fear was confirmed, because the Falcons' offensive line was pretty much non-functional, at least from a pass protection standpoint. They had some success early on the ground, but that sort of ground to a halt after the first quarter. And it gives you some pause for this Falcons team moving forward, because they're not going to get any shortage of great defensive lines that they're going to face, particularly in the early going of this upcoming season, and particularly that interior offensive line with the rookie and left guard Jalen Mayfield and a first-year starter and center Matt Hennessy. Certainly had their fair share of struggles, particularly late in the game once that score really sort of stretched and the Falcons had to become a little bit more one-dimensional and their issues there got exposed. So that was my main takeaway. It was basically an uh-oh in regard to the Falcons' offensive line.
I want to stay with the offensive line for a moment, Aaron. Jake Matthews, you could say he's the veteran of this offensive line. How much pressure was put on him during this game, and how much pressure do you see him having to take on for the remainder of this season?
Yeah, Matthews is an interesting player because, by and large, for like the last four or so years, the Falcons have had the confidence and trust in Jake Matthews at that left tackle position to basically leave him on an island. He rarely gets help. He rarely gets chips and whatnot. And for the most part, particularly in 2018 and beyond, I think Jake has lived up to that expectation and in that role. So I think that's going to continue to be the thing here this upcoming season. I think, you know, against Philadelphia, he was the only Falcons starting offensive lineman that was not credited with giving up a pressure, according to Pro Football Focus. And I thought that was reflected in his play in pass protection. There were some issues there in run blocking that he needs to clean up. But, you know, with Jake Matthews, he is sort of the veteran leader, as you mentioned, of that offensive line. And the Falcons are going to need to continue to have him play well, because they're right now looking at several of the other starters on that offensive line, they have major issues. And if there's any sort of drop-off, in a significant drop-off in Jake Matthews' play, that's going to only spell further doom for the Falcons' offense and their offensive line.
All right, let's move along now to the offensive side for the Falcons and the running game. There's no more Devontae Freeman, and Ito Smith is not on the team anymore. But this was interesting. I'm looking at the stats from the Eagles-Falcons game. The leading rusher in that game was receiver Cordarrelle Patterson, 7 carries for 54 yards, and then Mike Davis had 15 carries for 49 yards. Give me your take on the running game in this game. Give me your take on the running game against the Eagles and what needs to improve, and how often do you think you will see one of your wide receiver be the leading rusher for a game going forward?
Yeah, Patterson's performance and production was a surprise. It was a pleasant surprise from that week one game. Patterson, by and large, over these last couple of seasons, we saw it in Chicago, we saw it back in 2018 with New England, has sort of slowly transitioned from this wide receiver to getting a lot more opportunities in the backfield as a running back. And the Falcons, when they signed Patterson in April, essentially said that his primary role on offense is going to be as a running back. He did get some opportunities on Sunday to line up as a wide receiver, but as you mentioned, and as the box score indicates, the bulk of his opportunities was as a running back, and I thought he looked good. I think one of the reasons why he was a little bit more effective than Mike Davis is that he had a little bit more juice in terms of being that guy that could hit the hole a little quicker than Mike Davis is. Davis is a good running back with good vision and shows good power, but you know, at times can be a little plotting, getting to the hole, and with the offensive line issues that the Falcons were dealing with for large chunks of the game, that became, you know, apparent and an issue that they couldn't necessarily overcome. So I think Patterson is going to continue to be a part of this Falcons rotation, and if he continues to play like he did in week one, you know, he'll have a significant chunk. But the Falcons did wind up signing Wayne Gallman after final cuts. He was with the New York Giants last year and filled in ably for Saquon Barkley in the second half of that season once Barkley went down with an injury. And if you had basically looked at, I think the numbers were like Gallman's last 9 starts, if you had extrapolated that over a full 16-game season, he would have been a 1,000-yard rusher. And because he's relatively new to the offense, the Falcons are sort of bringing him along slowly. He was inactive on Sunday. But I do think as the season wears on, you will probably see Gallman get a little bit more incorporated into the rotation. So I think the hope is for the Falcons that by year's end, they will have 3 capable running backs that can help spearhead a successful rushing attack with players like Davis, Patterson, and Gallman.
Yeah, Gallman is definitely a versatile back. He's somebody that's a solid runner, but he's more effective, especially when he's coming out of the backfield and catching passes. So he definitely makes a big difference on that. I want to stay on the Falcons' offense for a moment. I'm looking at the receiving numbers right here. Calvin Ridley was the leading receiver in the game against the Eagles. He had 5 catches for 51 yards. The rookie tight end Kyle Pitts, 4 catches for 31 yards, and he had tight end Hayden Hurst had 4 catches for 28 yards. What were your takeaways from what the receivers did in the game against the Eagles?
Well, it's notable that one receiver you didn't mention was Russell Gage, the Falcons, you know, number 2 wide receiver opposite Ridley. He had 0 catches in the game, and that simply was not good enough. The Falcons need a lot more from their number 2 receiver than to basically be shut out in a game. But I think, you know, Ridley got off to a really strong start. 3 of those catches were on the opening drive of the game, including a couple of third down conversions. But then things got quiet. Kyle Pitts kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start for the Falcons. And then, you know, outside of maybe one big catch in the third quarter, had a relatively quiet performance. And a lot of Hayden Hurst's production, you know, at least half of, I think, his catches came on like 3rd and longs where the Falcons were just basically checking the ball down to sort of improve their field position for a punt, not necessarily making a big impact. So the Falcons wide receivers, outside of some sporadic plays here and there, simply did not make enough plays in this game. I think the Falcons wide receivers are certainly capable of producing at a much higher level. And I think most of the blame is not on those receivers specifically. It's just the quarterback just didn't have enough time to get those guys the ball when they could come open. So I think the receivers, while certain players need to play better, I think the Falcons need to do a better job integrating Pitts into the offense. There was a notable third down in the opening drive in the red zone where Kyle Pitts was not on the field, and you would assume that part of the reason why the Falcons drafted Kyle Pitts, number 4 overall in the draft, was to help improve what was one of the weaker red zone offenses in the league last year, and that red zone struggles continued on Sunday with the Falcons going 0-2 there. So that was a bit of a head-scratcher. But I think, you know, the Falcons' weapons are certainly capable of more. We just didn't necessarily see it, and I think a lot of that is owed to the offensive line issue.
I want to stay just with the Falcons' receiving core for a moment. For so many seasons, we saw Julio Jones at the helm as being the leader of the Falcons receiving core. Going forward in this season, Aaron, do you think that the absence of Julio Jones will hurt, or do you think that the Falcons receiving core will go along just fine with the additions with Ridley and Hurst, and of course with the rookie Kyle Pitts and also Russell Gage?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how you define just fine. If just fine is basically being like league average or something like that, yeah, I think the Falcons are more than capable of being just fine. But I think losing Julio Jones is a significant blow to the offense, and I think that was reflected on Sunday because Julio Jones has been one of the most consistent playmakers in the NFL, and one of the things that stood out to me on Sunday was the fact that the Falcons failed to generate a single play beyond 20-plus yards receiving. And, you know, in the past, you know, that's an important element, particularly when you fall behind like the Falcons did in this game. You're going to need to generate explosive plays and chunk yardage in order to move the ball effectively and quickly in order to get back into the game. And the Falcons really struggled to do that. And I think that is a legit issue that you do wonder about, if the Falcons can reliably do that. Obviously, playmakers like Calvin Ridley and what the Falcons expect Kyle Pitts to be should be able to help mitigate some of that issue, but that was clearly not the case on Sunday. So I think, you know, in past years, the Falcons being down 15-6, like they were to the Eagles, you know, at halftime into the third quarter, those would have been prime opportunities where, you know, for the last decade, we've seen Julio Jones step up and basically get the ball to Julio. He's going to get this offense back into the game. And I don't know if Ridley and certainly Ridley and Pitts did not necessarily fulfill that same role on Sunday. So I do think that's reflective of what the Falcons are potentially losing by losing Julio Jones.
All right, and let's move along now to the defensive side. In the game against the Eagles, the leading tacklers on the defensive side for the Falcons were A.J. Terrell and Daron Harmon. They both had 6 tackles, and then Eric Harris had 5 tackles, and then Deion Jones, who has been basically an all-world player for the Falcons since he's joined the team, he would have 4 tackles, and also alongside Foyoshede Olukan had 4 tackles as well, and then Fabian Morrow had 3 tackles. Give me your takeaways, Aaron, from how the defense performed against the Eagles. I know the score was 32-6, but if you have any takeaways or, you know, discrepancies you had, what were your what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the positives for the defense was that they started getting stops in the second half that would have given the offense opportunities to get back into the game. Obviously, as we've already discussed, the offense wasn't able to take advantage of those opportunities. So I think there was some good from the defense. They were getting gashed early in the run game, but they sort of figured it out by the end of the game. But I think one of the things that caught me off guard with my expectation for what the Eagles' game plan was, I thought they were going to be a little bit more conservative and not put the game in Jalen Hurts' hands to go out there and win them. And they went out there and they threw the ball a bunch in the first half of that game. A lot of it was sort of short passing, quick game stuff that I think was meant to, you know, maximize and put Hurts in advantageous situations, throwing situations, so he wasn't sitting there trying to hold on to the ball and read the defense as much, given his lack of experience. So I think the Eagles did a great job game planning for their quarterback and putting him in advantageous situations. And so that kind of caught me a little bit off guard, and it seemed to catch the Falcons off guard because they didn't really have an answer for it. It just seemed like Jalen Hurts, time and time again, was able to attack the flats over and over, and the Falcons really didn't have a way to defend it. And I think part of that was, I think the Falcons were, you know, expecting their pass rush to be a little bit more effective. You know, I thought they would be a little bit more aggressive blitzing Jalen Hurts to try to speed up his game. And I think the Falcons took a little bit more of a conservative approach. So, you know, my expectation going into the game was that the Eagles would be more conservative, but they, I think, were a little bit more aggressive. And, you know, I thought the Falcons would be a little bit more aggressive, but they wound up being a little bit more conservative. So that was probably my main takeaway from that with the switch in expectations.
I mentioned, we'll stay on the defensive side for a moment, Deion Jones. I mean, Deion Jones has been a fantastic player since he's been in Atlanta, and I want to ask you, I know there was another impact player that played in Atlanta for some seasons, and that's Keanu Neal. Keanu Neal is with the Dallas Cowboys now. With Keanu being in Dallas now, is this defense belong to Deion now? Is he the anchor of this Falcon defense?
Well, Deion Jones was named the captain. He was voted a captain by his teammates alongside Grady Jarrett. But I think most people in and around Atlanta sort of look at Grady Jarrett as the true leader of this defense. Deion Jones has been, as you mentioned, a very reliable playmaker for the Falcons at that linebacker position. But what was interesting that occurred this summer was that the Falcons decided to essentially switch him with Foye Oluokun, where Deion Jones for many years had been the middle linebacker, which is traditionally sort of the leader of the defense. And now Oluokun has filled that role. And I think that is kind of telling that maybe the Falcons feel like Deion Jones is better served being put in a position where he can just sort of go around and make plays rather than being in this sort of responsible position like the middle linebacker typically is, which is making all the calls on defense and sort of having to be that focal point of the defense. So I do think, you know, in regards to Deion Jones sort of it being his team, I think there have been the steps that have been made in recent years to sort of take that pressure away from him, because these last couple of years, while the defense has shown some positive gains under Jones's stewardship, I think, you know, there are some things that maybe this new coaching staff looked back and thought were wanting in regards to that. So I would say if you're asking me who's the leader of this defense, it's probably going to be Grady Jarrett. But certainly Deion Jones is, you know, probably in the top two or three.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Foye Oluokun has stepped up tremendously for a while. And, of course, Grady Jarrett, he's been with the team for a while now, and he's definitely proven himself as one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. I want to move along now to someone that plays the most important and the most criticized position in not just in the NFL but in sports, and that's quarterback, and that's Matt Ryan. Matt, looking at his stats, again, we mentioned earlier, Aaron, about, again, the Eagles' defense. Eagles' defense played very aggressively, and the Falcons' offense was just conservative, of course, due to the pass protection not handling their business against that Eagles pass rush. Matt completed 21 out of 35 passes for 164 yards in this game against the Eagles. What were your takeaways from Matt's performance against the Eagles?
Yeah, I think with Matt Ryan and looking at his performance, you know, as mentioned earlier and as you just said, you know, when we're sort of wondering why Matt Ryan did not perform up to expectations, you know, I think by and large it's because he was constantly under pressure, and that led to, you know, basically the offense not being able to function, at least the passing game, not being able to function for most of the game. So I think that needs to be understood before we sort of talk about any sort of criticisms of Matt Ryan, because I think in certain ways you're kind of nitpicking with a lot of the stuff Matt Ryan. But I think some of the stuff in the red zone, where the Falcons on their first two drives in the first quarter were able to move the ball pretty easily down the field, but things stagnated in the red zone. And I certainly think it's fair. This is the part where, you know, the quarterback needs to get the ball in the end zone. And I think there were some throws that Matt Ryan made in those instances that, you know, he would probably go back and look at the film and say, look, I could have made a better throw. I could have made a better read here, and we could have gotten six. And, you know, while, you know, when you lose by 26 points, you don't necessarily look at, you know, the 8 points that you lost not converting on red zone as being the difference in the game. But had you been able to convert that early in the game, it could have changed the complete momentum of the game later on if you had, you know, gotten out to a 14-7 lead as opposed to falling behind 15-6 like the Falcons eventually did in the first half. So I think in that case, Matt Ryan, certainly there is room for criticism of Matt Ryan's performance, particularly when it came to some of those red zone throws and decisions. But at the end of the day, you do have to look at the bigger picture and say, look, I don't know how he could have succeeded given how poorly the offensive line played.
I want to stay with Matt just for a moment. The last three seasons have been losing seasons for the Falcons. And, of course, again, it's a quarterbacks league, so everything begins and ends and revolves around the quarterback. This past offseason, there were questions about will Matt Ryan be the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons going forward. There were so many issues. I mean, there were the trade rumors with Russell Wilson. There were possibilities that the Seahawks could trade him maybe to New Orleans or Chicago. Atlanta was also one of the other teams that was mentioned. They also mentioned about maybe the Falcons could be courting Trevor Lawrence or maybe a Justin Fields. How confident are you that Matt Ryan will be the starting quarterback for the at least for the next 3 to 4 years with the Falcons?
Well, you know, with each successive season, that confidence has diminished. And certainly, you know, coming off of the heels, maybe it's recency bias, but coming off the heels of this week one loss, it did take a significant hit over the last couple of days looking towards the future if this Falcons offense can't get back on track. And this, you know, this new coaching staff under Arthur Smith can't get Matt Ryan performing like the top 10, top 5 quarterback that we've seen him capable of being going back to his MVP season 5 years ago. So I think the concern about Matt Ryan's longevity is legitimate. You know, the conversation often in and around Atlanta is based around, is Matt Ryan the problem? And I think on Sunday, as we've already discussed, that the Falcons' problems are much greater than their quarterback situation. But the real problem is that the Falcons at this point in time, again, we'll see what the rest of the season, how it unfolds. But at this point in time, the Falcons do not look like a particularly good football team. That is their core problem. And obviously that's going to take time to change. And the time that it takes in order to improve this roster to make this into a good football team, you know, the issue that they're going to have to deal with that involves Matt Ryan is, can you justify paying a quarterback, which is what they're paying Matt Ryan? And I think the numbers bear out that Matt Ryan with this year and the next 2 years left on his contract is going to account for 20% of their salary cap over the next three seasons. If you're not winning games, you can't really justify paying that type of price for a quarterback. And so I think whether Matt Ryan is at fault for the Falcons' shortcomings or is the cause of the Falcons' shortcomings, if this team can't find ways to win consistently, there's just no reason for them to continue to pay that type of price tag if it's not getting results on the field. So I think that's really sort of the core issue surrounding Matt Ryan. And the only thing that sort of causes that conversation to go away, where we're not talking again, like you mentioned, you know, this upcoming offseason, like last offseason, about the Falcons potentially drafting, you know, their next franchise quarterback, that only goes away if Matt Ryan performs at a high level and the Falcons are winning games. And obviously, based off of what we saw on Sunday, it does not seem like this team is you know, approaching that level of play and that standard. And until they do, you know, this is going to continue to be a major question in and around Atlanta.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, and I, you know, Matt Ryan is one of my favorite quarterbacks, and I hope he can get it right for this season. You, like you mentioned, Aaron, it's a long season. I hope he can get it right and at least hang in there much longer to be the Falcons quarterback, at least for the next 3 to 5 years. And because I think he's got so much talent, but like you said before, it begins and ends with his pass protection. And because he's an old school pocket passer, and you know, they have to give him that protection that he needs. And speaking of quarterbacks, we got to talk about Atlanta's next game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to be going up against who a lot of people say could be the GOAT or is the GOAT, Tom Brady. I mean, we saw on the kickoff opener on this past Thursday night against the Cowboys, and Tom had completed 32 out of 50 passes for 379 yards and 4 touchdown passes, and he had 2 interceptions. Now, Aaron, the Bucs are the defending champions. I want to start off on the defensive side. What must the Falcons do, in your opinion, what must the Falcons defense do to neutralize this Buccaneer offense led with TB12 and Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones and, of course, Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are going to have to be a little bit more aggressive defensively with dialing up pressure and blitzes against this Bucs offense than they were against the Eagles. I think really in reality, given the concerns that the Falcons offense has, if you're going to get into a shoot, you're not going to win a shootout against this Bucs team. They just have too much talent at the quarterback position, running back position, offensive line, and at the receiver position, and a talent that simply outclasses what the Falcons have on the defensive side of the ball. So I think you're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive and basically, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, if you give up, if you're blitzing a ton and you give up some big plays to the Bucs offense, then, you know, that's just par for the course, given how this offense has played really, you know, in week one and going back to the postseason in the last month of last season. I saw a stat where the Falcons played the Bucs last year in week 15 and got up 17-0 in that game. And then the Bucs scored, I think, 27 or 31 points in the second half of the game. I can't recall. And since then, they've basically, since that halftime, they've averaged roughly, you know, 37 points every four quarters in every game since then, which I think the greatest offense of all time, which was the 2013 Broncos offense under Peyton Manning, averaged about 37 points a game. So essentially they are playing at a historic level going back to that halftime game against the Falcons in week 15 last year. So this is a situation where I don't think the Falcons can trust that, oh, we can stop. We have the defense that can stop this team. So I think they need to be aggressive, blitz a ton. If Tom Brady picks you apart, then so be it. He was probably going to pick you apart if you played on your heels. So be aggressive, and I think that might give them an opportunity. Maybe that creates a couple of turnovers. We've seen Brady throw some interceptions over that span of time, and maybe that gives you a few more opportunities to steal a possession or two, and maybe that gives your offense a chance that if you do have to get into a shootout, you got a better chance of winning the game.
All right, and let's move along now to the other side of the ball, Aaron. And now we talked about the Falcons' offense, of course, being anemic in that game against the Eagles. But the Buccaneers' defense, again, their weaknesses are in the secondary. And they had some injuries in the secondary in the this past Thursday in the kickoff opener against the Cowboys. But the bread and butter of this Buccaneer defense are the defensive linemen and, of course, the linebackers. And you've got Devin White, and, of course, there's Shaq Barrett, and then there's Levante David. How will the Falcons' offense – what must the Falcons' offense do to go up against this Buccaneer defense, led particularly by that defensive line and the linebackers?
Yeah, I think my expectation is the Falcons will have a similar game plan to what they had against Philadelphia, which is that they know if they try to get into a straight drop-back passing game against that Bucs front with players like Vita Vea and Shaq Barrett, who have had, you know, some really dominant performances against this Falcons offensive line in previous years, and then you throw in the fact that maybe this is an even weaker offensive line based off of their week one performance that the Falcons have this year, you know, it doesn't look pretty if the Falcons are going to try to throw the ball a ton against this game, against this Bucs defense, despite, as you mentioned, some of the concerns that they have in the secondary. We did see last year against this Bucs defense, we did see Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage have some solid performances late in the season against this Bucs defense. So it's not that the Falcons don't have the playmakers, and now with Kyle Pitts to be able to attack the secondary. But I do think the Falcons are probably going to go for a more conservative approach, which is, look, we're going to try to run the football. We're going to try to control the clock and try to keep this Bucs offense off the field by maintaining possession of the ball, and then we'll take our shots when we get them. That was one of the issues that the Falcons dealt with. They didn't necessarily take advantage of their play-action opportunities in this week one game. They've had some success against this Bucs defense with the play-action going back to that last year. That was a big reason why they got up to that 17-0 lead in that week 15 game last year, thanks to big plays to Calvin Ridley off of play-action. So I think that is a formula that can get the Falcons going, but I do think running the football, controlling the clock, and being maybe a little bit more conservative than necessarily saying, look, we can attack the secondary and let's sling it around the yard. I think you have too many questions along your offensive line to put them in that position where they're going up against arguably an even better front than what we saw this past week against Philadelphia.
All right, fair enough, and that's Aaron Freeman. He is the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. And Aaron, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you do as the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast.
Yeah, Locked On Falcons is 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, talking every day about the Atlanta Falcons. You, of course, can find it on every podcast platform out there. And, of course, if people want to find my other stuff, they can follow me on Twitter at FalcFans. That's FalcFans. And, of course, I put up a weekly column at thefalcoholic.com, the SB Nation website for the Atlanta Falcons as well.
Awesome. And tell everybody again where they can find you on social media, as well as Locked On Falcons, also The Falcoholic, and any websites that you want to promote, let them know that as well.
Yeah, so FalcFans is the Twitter page. That's FalcFans. Thefalcoholic.com is where that weekly column is, and Locked On Falcons, you can find that on Twitter. Just search Locked On Falcons. And, again, it's on every podcast platform.
Awesome, and you heard it from him. He is Aaron Freeman. He is the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast, and he's also a writer for The Falcoholic. Both of those websites give you anything and everything you need to know about Atlanta Falcons content. Aaron, thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program, and if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Down for whatever.
All right, thank you so much, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously disappointed with the result and, you know, how it shook out. I think there's some positives. You know, I've played a long time and know that, you know, it's never as good, it's never as bad. And so, you know, I think with a young football team, I think there's a lot of opportunities for us to learn from today. And it's going to be, you know, really important for us to get back to work and make sure that we correct some of the things that didn't go our way today. So, you know, it's disappointing. You know, you come out, you expect yourself to play well and to win. And, you know, just had some things that kind of got off schedule and had some self-inflicted wounds. And when you do that, it puts you in a tough spot to overcome.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by RootMetrics for the 16th time in a row. Proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on RootMetrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
Hey, Tom. I'm heading to Walmart because you know what season it is.
Oh, is it pumpkin spice season?
No, it's flu season, and Walmart gives flu shots.
Yes, flu season is here, and we've got your back with flu shots where you already shop. Our expert pharmacy team administers each flu shot and can answer your vaccine questions. Stay safe this flu season. Stop by our pharmacy or book your flu shot right now.
Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami.
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
Con Cox Internet y Home Life, sabes cuándo llega tu pizza. Ver cámaras.
¡Pizza!
Ve tus cámaras Home Life en tu TV con el control por voz de Contour.
Funciones requieren suscripción a Cox Internet y Contour TV. Servicios provistos por entidades licenciadas de Cox. TheCox.com/licencias.
You live in a smart home powered by Cox Internet, so you're not thinking about the pizza delivery. You're thinking how nice it is to get everyone together for a fun night. You're not thinking about the pizza. Maybe just a little.
Cox Home Life. Show me the front porch camera.
View your Cox Home Life cameras right from your TV using your Contour voice remote. Visit cox.com/thisishome to learn more.
Advertised features require subscription to Cox Internet and Contour TV. A high-speed internet connection is required. Home Life security services subject to Home Life security service agreement. Cox Home Life services provided by Cox licensed entities. See cox.com/licenses.
Kick back with some classical. And when you do, make a classic. Start with Eckrich Hardwood Smoked Sausage. Then, just add it to anything. Pasta, mac and cheese, chili, anything. As long as there's Eckrich, you'll get a standing ovation. Eckrich, you do you.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Albertsons For You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Albertsons For You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Albertsons Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit Albertsons.com/for you for program details.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Pavilions For You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Pavilions For You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Pavilions Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit pavilions.com/for you for program details.
You live in a smart home powered by Cox Internet, so you're not thinking about the pizza delivery. You're thinking how nice it is to get everyone together for a fun night. You're not thinking about the pizza. Maybe just a little.
Cox Home Life. Show me the front porch camera.
Pizza!
View your Cox Home Life cameras right from your TV using your Contour voice remote. Visit cox.com/thisishome to learn more.
Advertised features require subscription to Cox Internet and Contour TV. A high-speed internet connection is required. Home Life security services subject to Home Life security service agreement. Cox Home Life services provided by Cox licensed entities. See cox.com/licenses.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise. Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
kick back with some classical. And when you do, make a classic. Start with Eckrich Hardwood Smoked Sausage. Then, just add it to anything. Pasta, mac and cheese, chili, anything. As long as there's Eckrich, you'll get a standing ovation. Eckrich, you do you.
You live in a smart home powered by Cox Internet, so you're not thinking about the pizza delivery. You're thinking how nice it is to get everyone together for a fun night. You're not thinking about the pizza. Maybe just a little.
Cox Home Life. Show me the front porch camera.
Pizza!
View your Cox Home Life cameras right from your TV using your Contour voice remote. Visit cox.com/thishome to learn more.
Advertised features require subscription to Cox Internet and Contour TV. A high-speed internet connection is required. Home Life Security Services subject to Home Life Security Service Agreement. Cox Home Life Services provided by Cox License Entities. See cox.com/licenses.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami.
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
In the new Discovery Plus original true crime series, Doctor's Orders, a member of an infamous biker gang turns informant and reveals a story of drugs, money, and a murder for hire. Doctor's Orders, now streaming on Discovery Plus. Start your free trial. Terms apply.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Pavilions for You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Pavilions for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Pavilions Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit pavilions.com/4U for program details.
In the new Discovery Plus original true crime series, Doctor's Orders, a member of an infamous biker gang turns informant and reveals a story of drugs, money, and a murder for hire. Doctor's Orders, now streaming on Discovery Plus. Start your free trial. Terms apply.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
Hey guys, Gronk here, calling a 30-second hair huddle. When it comes to tackling hair loss, Hims has you covered. From clinically proven regrowth treatments to thickening shampoo and conditioner. Just go to 4hims.com for a free consultation. Then a licensed medical provider can help you with your game plan. If prescribed, Hims ships directly to your door. Get your hair back in the game with Hims. Try today and get a 90-day money-back guarantee at 4hims.com.
Just go to 4hims.com/podcast. That's 4hims.com/podcast. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Excuse me. Big special thank you to Aaron Freeman, host of the Locked On Falcons podcast and a writer for The Falcoholic, giving us the current insights of what's going on with the Atlanta Falcons. Great interview. And now it's time to get to discussing the most important games for Week 2 in the National Football League. Let's start off with tonight's Thursday night matchup in the NFC East between the New York Football Giants and the Washington Football Team. Let's start with the G-men for a moment. The Giants lost a tough one to the New York Giants, 27-13. Daniel Jones in that game completed 22 out of 37 passes for 267 yards and a touchdown pass. Saquon Barkley did play in that game. He saw limited action. Again, they don't want to rush him back too early as a result of the ACL injury he suffered last season. Excuse me. One of the bright spots in that contest was Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard had 7 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. So while the Giants are still trying to find their identity on the offensive side, Danny Dimes, could he be the future? Could he be the quarterback for the Giants? This is year 3 for him. So it's always a pressure cooker playing in the New York, New Jersey area. The Giants play at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And speaking of they're going to be going up against a team that is also having a pressure cooker of their own, and that's the Washington football team. Man, they lost a tough one to the Los Angeles Chargers in week 1. Ryan Fitzpatrick is expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a hip injury. So Taylor Heinicke will start tonight against, the New York football Giants. Again, one of the bright spots for the Washington football team, Antonio Gibson, 20 carries for 90 yards, and then also Terry McLaurin shined bright in that contest as well. So this is going to be, again, this is a battle for supremacy in the NFC East. A lot of people, when you think of the NFC East, you think of Dallas. You think of Philadelphia, and then there are the Giants, and then there's Washington. So this division is basically up for the taking, again, this year like it's been really for almost a decade now. There's no, even with the Cowboys improving on offense this year, there's really no, in my opinion, there's no dominant team in the NFC East as of right now where you can say, oh, this person's a clear-cut winner. There may be a couple. I could say Philadelphia and Washington, like Philadelphia, Washington, and then Dallas would be the clear-cut winners in the NFC East. But then again, you never know. It could turn around with this game on Thursday night between the Giants and Washington. Again, Saquon Barkley is expected to get more playing time in this game against Washington. Daniel Jones is expected to do well in this contest. And I'm anxious to see what's going to happen with the Washington offense. Taylor Heinicke, again, this is going to be his first start it's going to be his first career NFL start. The last time he played in an NFL game was the wild card game back in January when Washington battled Tampa Bay. So Giants and Washington is going to be a dogfight in the NFC East. They're going to be playing at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Next of the most important game for week 2 that I picked was the Las Vegas Raiders going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. As I mentioned earlier, the Raiders had a nail-biter in overtime on Monday night, beating the Baltimore Ravens. So the Raiders are definitely riding a big high right now. Again, Derek Carr had a fabulous game in that one. Darren Waller, his go-to guy, had a big game as well. So they're going to look to continue that success with Carr and Waller and also Josh Jacobs. Now, Josh Jacobs was having some issues with his foot. He's going to be questionable for the game against the Steelers. Now, I can tell you one thing. They're going to need Jacobs. I mean, as much as Derek Carr and Darren Waller, that 1-2 punch is always consistent, they're going to really need Josh Jacobs to be healthy for this game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the Steelers come from behind win over the Buffalo Bills. Final score 23-16. Ben Roethlisberger didn't play in an effective game, but he came through in the clutch. He came through when it mattered most. And definitely Pittsburgh is looking to definitely clean up those mistakes on the offense if they want to have a chance to beat the Raiders. You know, the Raiders, they love throwing the football, and the offense is really their MO. They have a nice defense, but Pittsburgh is looking to make up on the offensive side. We know Ben is going to do his part. Juju Smith-Schuster. Also, you've got Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson. And also looking for Najee Harris to try to come up big against the Raiders. We saw the Raiders make big stops in the Monday night game against Baltimore. So they're looking to make some big stops against that Pittsburgh offense. Pittsburgh's defense, that's really going to be the key in this contest. Can Pittsburgh's defense neutralize Las Vegas's offense? Derek Carr went off attempting 58 passes. Will he have that opportunity against the Pittsburgh's defense? I highly doubt it. Pittsburgh's defense at least for right now, at least in such an early part of the year, is much better than Baltimore coming into week two. So Raiders and Steelers, that game will be at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, always exciting. Next game is going to be a great one between the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles. First, for the 49ers, they had a big win over the Detroit Lions, 41-33. Jimmy Garoppolo did what he was supposed to do, got the job done, and then some. 314 passing yards and a touchdown pass in that game in the win over the Detroit Lions. Some bad news out of San Francisco. Raheem Mostert originally was they said that the injury he suffered to torn his ACL, the original diagnosis is that he was going to be out for 8 weeks. Well, now he's going to be done for the season, and that's going to be a big blow to the 49ers as they try to get their 2021 season on track. Now, with that being said, they do have Elijah Mitchell, who was effective in the game against Detroit. Also, they have Jamichael Hasty, who's a nice complimentary back. But how about Deebo Samuel? Deebo Samuel went off in this game against Detroit, and he's looking to kind of repeat that same success against Philadelphia. So with the 49ers not having Mostert, but they do have Jimmy G, they do have two complimentary backs along with a fullback with Kyle Juszczyk, there's Deebo Samuel, and of course, you also have the tight end, George Kittle. And they're looking to continue their winning ways against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles had their way against the Atlanta Falcons 32-6. Jalen Hurts had three touchdown passes in the game. Miles Sanders had three rushing touchdowns. And Devontae Smith, a.k.a. the Slim Reaper, scored a touchdown in this game. Now, as far as with the 49ers offense going up against that Eagle defense, we know the Eagles defense has not been the best in quite a long time. Their defensive line is the strength of that Eagle defense. Overall, linebackers and secondary not that good. So if the 49ers want to win this game, they're going to have to throw the ball. Jimmy G is going to have to kind of get out of that game manager mode and really play, I won't say play the game of his life, but he's going to have to be aggressive on the passing side. As for the 49er defense, they're going up against Jalen Hurts, who is a mobile quarterback, so he's not a pocket passer, so those defensive linemen and linebackers are going to have a tough day. It's going to be a tough day for the 49er defense to try to contain Jalen Hurts. This is going to be a great game. This game is going to be played at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. That's going to be always one of the interesting environments, not just in the NFL, but in all of sports in general. And also, injury note again for San Francisco, Jason Verrett tore his ACL. He is out for the season. So tough breaks for the 49ers with Raheem Mostert and Jason Verrett. The next game is going to be the New Orleans Saints going up against the Carolina Panthers. Again, this is a divisional showdown. Very early in the year that we have a lot of divisional matchups. This is in the NFC South. First of all, New Orleans was the shocker of week one. They didn't just beat the Green Bay Packers. They annihilated them, beating them 38-3. Jameis Winston, we know about the five touchdown passes. Juwan Johnson had two touchdowns in this contest. The defense shut down the reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers and that Packer offense. The question is, will they have an encore when they travel to Charlotte, to play at Bank of America Stadium? Well, the Panthers, they were able to fend off the New York Jets. The Panthers would win that game 19-14. Sam Darnold passed for close to 280 yards and had a touchdown pass. And Mr. Christian McCaffrey, Mr. Everything for that Carolina offense, he came up big for the win against the Jets. So now we've got the Saints going up against the Panthers. Can the Saints have a repeat performance? Will the defense be able to shut down Mr. Everything for Carolina, Christian McCaffrey? And what about will the pass rush be able to get in Sam Darnold's face and he won't be able to make plays not only to Christian McCaffrey but to get to other targets like Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore? And what about the Panthers' defense? The Panthers' defense has been experiencing some growing pains the last several years. And the Saints offense clicked and then some against the Packers. Will Jameis Winston have a second act where he's going to be able to throw multiple touchdown passes against that Carolina defense? very interesting, very exciting NFC South showdown between Saints and the Panthers. That game will be played at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. The next game that we have, again, another divisional showdown in the NFC South between the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to start off with Tampa Bay. Again, a thrilling kickoff game on last Thursday night, I should say, going beating the Dallas Cowboys by 2 points, 31-29. And Tom Brady, I mean, the best just gets better. I mean, people look at his age. I don't look at his age. I just look at his great ability that he has. He passed for almost 380 yards, and he had 4 touchdown passes in this game. Antonio Brown had a spectacular game in the win over the Cowboys in week one. So now Tampa Bay will play a division rival, the Atlanta Falcons. And when I mention Tom Brady, you got to mention Matt Ryan. And Matt is looking for a comeback performance. Matt did not play well at all. The Falcons did not play well at all, losing to the Eagles 32-6. This is going to be a game, as in the interview segment earlier with Aaron Freeman, he talked about Atlanta has to get going quickly on offense. They have to be more aggressive. And I couldn't agree with him more. When you're going up against the defending champions and you had a tough outing on the offensive side against the Eagles last week, coming into a hostile environment in Tampa, you've got to be aggressive on the offensive front. And this is the game where we're going to see Matt Ryan come up big. He's going to have a much better game than he did, against the Falcons. I mean, all things considered, Tampa Bay, we know the strength of their defenses and the defensive line and the linebackers. The secondary, not that good. So if the pass protection can hold up for Matt, as opposed to how it fell apart in the game against the Falcons, if the pass protection can hold up for him, he'll be able to make plays and he could definitely make some things happen in this game against Tampa. This is going to be an exciting game. I expect it to be close than what a lot of people are making it out to be. But Falcons and Buccaneers, that game is going to be played at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Next game is going to be a great one. It's going to be a late game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Chargers. Let's start off with the Chargers. Justin Herbert, enough said about him. Last year's Offensive Rookie of the Year, entering this is his year two in his career. Big win over the Washington football team, 20-16. And one thing is for sure about Justin Herbert, the Chargers are a passing team. The Chargers are a passing team. They love to throw the ball. They're not afraid to throw the ball. And with that defense that they have, it's going to be an interesting test for the Dallas Cowboys. Losing a tough one on the Thursday night kickoff game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dak Prescott, I know he's chomping at the bit right now. I know he is looking forward to getting back out on that field, but he's got a tough task against this Los Angeles Charger defense. When I think of the Charger defense with Linval Joseph and, of course, Joey Bosa and Derwin James and Chris Harris Jr. and Kenneth Murray, man, the Charger defense is outstanding. It is outstanding, and Dak is definitely going to have his hands full. So, again, the keys for this is going to be Dallas's offense against the Chargers, the Charger defense. The Charger defense held Washington football team to only 16 points. So can the Charger defense hold the Dallas offense to 16 points? I don't know if they'll hold them to 16 points, but I see them barely getting to 30. And as far as the Charger offense against the Cowboy defense, Justin Herbert, I expect to have a field day against the Dallas defense. Of course, with the recent injury to DeMarcus Lawrence suffering a broken foot in practice, and he's expected to be out for an extensive period of time. So, again, Dallas is just – it's been a tough offseason for them. Dak got his contract extension, but then after that, Zach Martin was struck down with COVID. And now you've got DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be out indefinitely with a foot injury. So it's been tough for the boys, and hope, you know, just pray up and hope that they can try to make some things happen. But again, that game is going to be the late game on CBS, and that game is going to be played at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, home to the Chargers and the Rams, but the Chargers will be playing their home game against the Cowboys. Sunday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, the future is now. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, two former league MVPs. Excitement. The Kansas City Chiefs came from behind to beat the Cleveland Browns 33-29. The Baltimore Ravens, they lost a tough one in overtime on Monday night to the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, as far as if the Chiefs are concerned, I think the Chiefs were led by Mahomes. I think their offense is going to continue to do what they do. They're going to continue to throw the ball. They're going to mix it up a little bit. You're going to see some running here and there. But I see Patrick Mahomes really going to – he's really going to test the waters against that Raven defense. After seeing what the Raiders, Derek Carr and that pass offense did to that Raider defense, I expect Patrick Mahomes to do more passing in this game than what he did against Cleveland. As for the Baltimore, this is a statement game. Losing a tough one on Monday night to the Raiders. They're going to be at home. This is a Sunday night football game, and this is going to be in front of a worldwide audience, and it got to make things happen. I know Lamar Jackson is going to go down. He is not going to go down without a fight, and he's definitely somebody that's going to make things happen. He's going to do his part, throwing the ball, running, making plays happen, and then also, too, Latavius Murray, I expect to see more of Latavius Murray in this game. He'll have a bigger role. I think he's going to continue to get more comfortable with the playbook. He's going to have more of a big influence in this game on Sunday night between the Chiefs and the Ravens. That game is going to be played at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. And then on Monday night, we've got the Detroit Lions going up against the Green Bay Packers. That game is going to be played at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. First of all, Detroit, Jared Goff, again, he attempted 57 passes in that game for the Lions. He finished with 338 yards and three touchdowns and an interception. And we know about the Lions and Packers rivalry. We know with Aaron Rodgers and what he's done in just torching the Detroit Lions throughout his career as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is, for all of his talent and for all of his achievements, he's a proud man. He is a proud man. And I think that, you know, Green Bay is going to get this fixed in a hurry. After being embarrassed in front of a worldwide television audience, losing badly to the New Orleans Saints, let me tell you something. The cheeseheads are not going to let that happen ever again. They're not going to let that happen. Aaron, they're going to be ready. Aaron Jones, he's going to be ready. Devontae Adams, they're going to be ready. The linemen, the pass protection for Green Bay is going to be so much better. Much, much, much better. People are probably going to say, they're playing Detroit. Yeah, they're playing Detroit. It's a division rival in the NFC North. But guess what? This is a comeback game for Green Bay. I expect Green Bay to do big things in this contest. I expect to see this could be a shootout. I think this could be a shootout between Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff. I mean, we've seen what Jared has done throughout his career with the Rams and what he did last week against the 49ers. So that's the Monday night game between the Lions and the Packers. So those are the most important games that we're discussing for week two in the NFL. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Sunday night matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, two former league MVPs. Both are talented in their own right. You have one quarterback that's athletic, but one that will throw the ball and will take the ball down the field. You have another quarterback that thrives more on athletic ability and one that will just has, you know, it's caution to the wind when you watch him play. These two are very dynamic in their own way, and the Chiefs and the Ravens are two teams that are dynamic in their own way as well. So you've got two teams that are led by dynamic quarterbacks, and two teams led by not only two dynamic quarterbacks, but these are two teams that are products of their own cities. Kansas City, known for the hard-working, blue-collar mentality, the barbecue, being in the Midwest. Baltimore, being on the East Coast, loving their crab cakes and being blue collar and loving their football. Baltimore, loving their sports, but both football is first in that city. Chiefs Ravens, could it be a preview of the AFC Championship game? Too early to tell. But this is a great one that we're going to get on Sunday Night Football. Very early in the year that we're getting a very important game like this, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited to watch these two teams. I'm very excited to watch these two dynamic quarterbacks in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. This is going to be a great one. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I'm going to give you my picks for Week 2's most important games in the NFL. Starting off with Thursday night football between the New York Giants and the Washington football team. I like the Washington football team to bounce back from this one. I like Washington to beat the Giants. The Las Vegas Raiders will go up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the Raiders to win that game. The San Francisco 49ers square off against the Philadelphia Eagles. I like the 49ers to remain 2-0 in this contest. The New Orleans Saints going up against the Carolina Panthers. This is going to be a very close game, but I think the Saints are going to hold off and win by a field goal in this one. I like the Saints to beat the Panthers. The Atlanta Falcons going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Matt Ryan and the offense will play much better in this contest, but I'm not going against TB12 against in this one. I like the Buccaneers to win that one. The Dallas Cowboys square off against the Los Angeles Chargers. Again, offensively, Dallas will be good in this one. Offensively, Dallas will be good in this one. Defensively, I'm not so sure. I like the Chargers to win in a close one. Sunday night between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. This is going to be a very, very close game, but I think too much of my homeboy for this one. I like Kansas City to win this one. And on Monday night, the Detroit Lions going up against the Green Bay Packers. I like Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers to bounce back tremendously in this contest. I like the Packers to win. So my picks are Washington, Las Vegas, San Francisco, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, L.A. Chargers, Kansas City, and Green Bay. Well, that just about wraps it up right here for this week's edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Aaron Freeman, host of the Locked On Falcons podcast and a writer for the Falcoholic, giving us the 411 and his insights on what's currently going on with the Atlanta Falcons. Until next week, I'm Ed Robinson, saying so long, and we'll talk to you again next week right here on the League Wraparound.
After a long wait, it's finally time to get the family back together again, and nature is just a short drive away. Vrbo has thousands of private vacation homes where you can be miles away from everything but get closer to the ones you love. So whether it's a lake house with a grill, a cabin with a hot tub, or a chalet with a foyer, Vrbo has the perfect place for your family reunion. Download the Vrbo app. The time for getting back together is now.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by RootMetrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on RootMetrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
You're finally ready to reunite with loved ones, and nature is just a short drive away. So check out Vrbo and find the perfect lake house, cabin, or chalet for your family reunion. Download the Vrbo app. The time for getting back together is now.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by RootMetrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on RootMetrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
Headlines and hot takes, they have their place. But at our podcast, ESPN Daily, We don't just skim the surface of sports.
Dude,
I mean, this clearly transcends blood feuds, rivalries, sports. This is something far, far deeper than that. I'm your host, Pablo Torre, and every day we try to dive into the stories behind the athletes.
The picture of him in the dugout afterwards just looked like a guy who'd had his heart ripped out.
Listen to ESPN Daily wherever you get your podcasts.